program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by the Audio Journal. Thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. Hello and welcome. My name is Adam, and if you're looking for something to do this weekend, well, you've come to the right place. Over the next hour, we'll be making our way through a myriad of things, a plethora of options, a gaggle of possibilities, all of which you can do this weekend right here in Worcester County. So grab a seat, get comfy, and get ready, because this is Weekend Update. Welcome to Weekend Update, and welcome to the week of chocolate chips. That's right, it is National Chocolate Chip Day this week, specifically coming up on Friday. That is the day we can all get together and celebrate the legacy of Mrs. Ruth Graves. She is responsible for inventing the chocolate chip back in the 1930s, and she did it for her guests. You see, she and her husband Kenneth owned and operated an inn in Wakefield, Massachusetts, with a very popular kitchen and dining room. Ruth's success in the dining room was largely due to her own recipes, and a lot of her grandmother's recipes as well. In fact, she was so successful that she grew the dining room from 7 tables to 60 tables. Her recipes were so popular that she released multiple cookbooks full of them, with the most popular cookbook titled Ruth Wakefield's Tried and True Recipes, published in 1931. Well, one day in 1938, Ruth and her assistant Sue were working in the kitchen experimenting with cookies, specifically a thin butterscotch pecan cookie that had been incredibly popular with her guests. She'd been serving it with a scoop or two of vanilla ice cream, and the guests just loved it, and so did she. But she felt the recipe was missing some kind of chocolate. She thought that the chocolate would enhance the cookie and make it even more delectable than it already was. Her idea was to add melting squares of chocolate to the blonde batter. Problem was, she didn't have any. What she did have was semi-sweet chocolate bars from the Nestle Company. So that's what she used. Ruth went at the chocolate bars with an ice pick, breaking it into pea-sized bits, which today would be recognized as the cookie staple, chocolate chips. These went into the batter, which then went into the oven, where something happened that Ruth did not expect. She was expecting that the chocolate pieces would melt and disseminate throughout the cookie. But that didn't happen. Instead, the bits actually maintained their chunky form as they baked. Well, the cookies were an instant hit with Ruth's guests. They could not get enough of these cookies. They became so popular that they were featured in newspapers, with many people writing in to Ruth and her husband asking for the recipe. One of those letters came from the Nestle Company, who were very intrigued with what Ruth was doing with their chocolate bars. Ruth gave the Nestle Company permission to print the recipe and market their semi-sweet chocolate as a key ingredient. She received a $1 payment for recipe rights. Now, you might think that that's not a whole lot, but she did get more than that. She didn't just get that $1. There was a lot more that she got out of this deal. She also got a lifetime supply of baking chocolate and a consulting deal with Nestle. Nestle even paid tribute to Ruth by naming the chocolate chips and the cookies after the inn where she invented them. They were called Toll House Cookies. And the rest, as they say, is history. Well, thank you to Ruth for inventing the chocolate chip and putting it in a cookie. For that, I think we can all be grateful. So for the past couple of weeks, if you've been following along, we've been taking a kind of a deep dive into the world of coffee and tea. Today, we are continuing that dive, but with a little bit of a twist. We'll be taking a look at some ingredients that are in foods that you might not expect to be there, and that includes coffee, which we'll get to in just a moment. For now, we'll start with tomato paste and an ingredient that is just downright gross, maggots. A small amount of insect contamination is practically unavoidable in the fruit and vegetable chain. In the United States, there is a precise guidance on how many fragments and of what are allowed in food. So, for example, U.S. consumers may have to put up with 30 insect fragments per 100 grams of peanut butter, 60 fragments per 100 grams of chocolate, 2 maggots per 100 grams of tomato paste, 1 maggot per 250 milliliters of citrus juice, and up to 35 fruit fly eggs in 1 cup of raisins. That's kind of gross. Makes me not want to eat raisins anymore. Now, rest assured, the rules are very, very tight when it comes to the presence of insects and their parts. Food placed on the market must be free from visible insect contamination. While minor unavoidable contamination can occur in natural products, visible contamination or anything that compromise safety or quality will generally trigger enforcement action. So in other words, if you open up a package of raisins and you can see fruit flies in there and fruit fly eggs, that's not a good thing. That was definitely not part of the plan. So that's fruit and vegetables, but what about other things? What about fish, for example? Well, eating fish containing dead parasitic worms sounds disgusting, but unfortunately, it's actually quite normal. Fish sold in the United Kingdom has to be inspected for visible evidence of parasites, and most fish or seafood that is going to be eaten raw or lightly cooked, such as cold smoked fish or sushi, has to be frozen at minus 4 degrees Fahrenheit for at least 24 hours to kill any parasites or larvae that remain after gutting and washing the fish. Eating live parasites or larvae can cause serious illness and even allergic reactions. This is why you should never make sushi or ceviche with fish that is not explicitly labeled sushi grade. Carboxymethyl cellulose and methyl cellulose are used as thickeners, as stabilizers, and as emulsifiers in everything from ice cream and gluten-free pastries to low-fat desserts and chewing gum. But what are these things? Well, simply put, they are all byproducts of the wood pulp industry. That's right, there is wood in your ice cream. Now rest assured, the wood byproducts in your ice cream are perfectly safe to eat. They don't harm it or you in any way. Methylcellulose has an interesting property. It is thermoreversible. That means that it forms a gel when it's heated, but it can melt when it's cold. This is particularly helpful when making burgers or sausages with pea or soy. It keeps the burgers and sausages together when they are cooked, and it makes them juicy, just like meat. This is particularly useful when making plant-based meats. The producers want their plant-based meats to look like real meat, smell like real meat, and taste like real meat. To that end, they include plant-based fibers to help in the texture department. The problem is that those fibers are incredibly tough. So tough, in fact, that our gut just can't handle them. We cannot break them down, even with all that acid in our stomach. So, to help out our gut, the producers add methyl cellulose. Why? Because methyl cellulose is a laxative. There is another item in ice cream that is kind of strange, carrageenan. Carrageenan has no taste, and it acts as a stabilizer, a thickener, and an emulsifier. But where do we get it from? Well, in a word, seaweed. That's right, not only is there wood in your ice cream, now there's also seaweed. Sodium alginate is another product that is made from brown seaweed. It is used in cheese sauces, baked goods, and frozen desserts, and sometimes they even put it in the bubbles in boba tea. Well, now I've ruined ice cream and boba tea for you, haven't I? A lot of food additives are now made via microbial fermentation, and xanthan gum, a widely used thickener and stabilizer, was one of the first to be discovered back in the 1950s. If you've ever left your cabbage in your salad crisper long enough for it to go slimy, well, congratulations, you've made your own xanthan gum. So, what is xanthan gum used for? Well, it's used in everything from gluten-free breads and cakes to dairy-based and dairy-free desserts. Researchers recently found that our gut bacteria can break down the xanthan gum and that eating it encourages particular groups of bacteria to thrive. What isn't clear yet is whether that's a good thing, a bad thing, or somewhere in the middle. As they say, more research needs to be done. So what about coffee? Well, it has long been claimed that up to 10% of U.S. coffee can be, are you ready, cockroaches. But this is putting it a little bit strongly. In the United States, up to 10% of green coffee beans can be infested with bugs before the whole lot has to be tossed in the trash. Fortunately, it's fairly easy to tell a cockroach from a coffee bean. If it's moving, it's not a bean, and it's got to go. If it's been nibbled in any way, it's got to go. If it's full of eggs, it's got to go. Now, that said, fragments of cockroach and other bugs can still make it as far as the packet. Coffee growers, though, are more worried about a different bug, the coffee berry borer. This is a beetle that lays eggs inside the berries before hatching and eating them from the inside out. So the next time you're drinking a cup of coffee and you notice a nutty flavor, that just might be the roasted cockroach in the beans. Truth be told, and all kidding aside, you have absolutely nothing to worry about. That cup of coffee you might be drinking, it's perfectly safe. Nothing to worry about at all. So pour yourself another or reheat your current cup and join me as we get ready for the weekend. And we'll start where we usually do, and that is Mechanics Hall, where they have exactly one event coming up this weekend. It is the Worcester Youth Orchestra's 78th Season Finale Gala. This is a treasured celebration of students' achievements, parent and student testimonies, and a senior graduation ceremony all wrapped up in one. Also included in the celebration will be performances by all of the major ensembles. There will also be a silent auction and raffles to help support the scholarship fund. A cash bar will be available throughout the performance. Credit cards are accepted at the bar. If you do happen to purchase a drink, you are allowed to take it up with you into the balcony if you're sitting up there. Food you cannot, but drinks you are more than welcome to bring that up with you to enjoy there in the balcony. There is also a dinner that is being served for those seated at tables who have purchased a specific dinner ticket in advance. The dinner menu includes an assorted cheese board with crackers and fruit, Caesar salad with dressing, rolls with butter, meat lasagna, chicken piccata, cheese tortellini, rice pilaf, seasonal vegetables, and assorted desserts and coffee. All of the food items are nut-free. If you have any other questions about allergies, they ask that you contact a woman named Allison. And they ask that you do that by email. Her email is Allison, and she spells her name with a Y. So it's A-L-L-Y-S-O-N, Allison, at WorcesterYouthOrchestras.org. Allison at WorcesterYouthOrchestras.org. All of this happens on Sunday, May 17th at 4 p.m. Tickets range in price from $10 all the way up to $78, depending on where you choose to seat and whether or not you choose to have dinner. To purchase your tickets, head to www.WorcesterYouthOrchestras.org, www.WorcesterYouthOrchestras.org, and when you get there, click on the words Concert Tickets in the blue box in the middle of the front page, and you'll be on your way. You can also give them a phone call at 508-281-9976, 508-281-9976. And I'll give you Allison's email one more time. It is Allison with a Y, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N, at WorcesterYouthOrchestras.org. There are also a couple of high school graduations coming up at Mechanics Hall in the coming weeks, and we'll talk more about those a little bit later on in the program. For now, we'll head right on over to the Hanover Theater for the Performing Arts, where they also have exactly one show going on this weekend. It is Meredith Wilson's The Music Man. The show opens on Friday, May 15th at 7:30. It continues on Saturday, May 16th at 2 p.m. and again at 7:30. The Music Man will then wrap up his stay with two performances on Sunday, May 17th, one at 1 p.m. and the final performance at 6:30. The 1 p.m. performance does have audio description services available, and the 6:30 performance has American Sign Language services available for that particular performance. The show runs approximately 2 hours and 25 minutes, and that does include one 15-minute intermission. If you would like to go and see the Music Man with his 76 trombones and a hit parade and 110 cornets close behind, and no, I'm not going to sing the entire score for you, you wouldn't want to hear that, trust me. Tickets range in price from $55 all the way up to $115, depending on where you choose to sit in the theater. To purchase, you've got your usual two options, thehanovertheater.org, or you can give them a phone call at 877-571-7469. As a friendly reminder, if you are planning on using audio description or American Sign Language services, please do let them know when you call so that they can help you with those services. Again, the telephone number is 877-571-7469. Well, the Hanover Theater Repertory has released their upcoming season schedule, and I thought we would take a quick look at that now. It is 3 different shows. Romeo and Juliet will be performed at the end of September and beginning of October of this year. Next February of 2027 will be Hedwig and the Angry Inch. And then at the end of March and April, beginning of April, rather, of next year, they will be performing Fat Ham. Series subscriptions are now on sale, and you can go ahead and purchase those by calling the Hanover Theater at 877-571-7469. Also releasing their upcoming season schedule was the WCLOC, the Worcester County Light Opera Company. They will also be performing 4 shows starting in October of this year. They will be performing The Effect. This is a clinical romance. 2 young volunteers, Tristan and Connie, agree to take part in a clinical drug trial. They both end up falling in love with each other and throwing the trial off course. All at the same time. And yes, this is a comedy, so you will be laughing at this. Don't take that storyline too seriously. It is a comedy. In December, they will be performing The Glass Menagerie. Southern matriarch Amanda frets constantly over her 2 live-in adult children, Laura and her brother, Tom. With great cajoling, Tom brings home a possible suitor for Laura, but reality has other plans, as it usually does. In February of next year, they will be performing a show called Circle Mirror Transformation. When 4 lost New Englanders who enroll in Marty's 6-week-long community center drama class begin to experiment with harmless games, hearts are quietly torn apart and tiny wars of epic proportions are waged and won. And then they'll wrap up their season in April and May of next year with The Light in the Piazza. A lush and soaring romance unfolds in this must-see story of a mother, a daughter, and the many meanings of love. In 1953, protective American mother Margaret Johnson brings her daughter Clara abroad for a glimpse of Italy's romantic history. But when a real-life attraction sparks between Clara and a local boy, Margaret must ask, can she reconcile her own hopes with her daughter's future? Subscriptions that include a seat at all 4 of these shows are on sale now at www.wcloc.org. Of course, if you would like to just go to 1 or 2 shows, you can purchase seats for individual shows as well. That is an option available to you. All of these performances will be held at the Grandview Playhouse at 21 Grandview Avenue here in Worcester. Again, the website is www.wcloc.org. And of course, we'll remind you about all of these shows when they get closer right here on Weekend Update. Speaking of shows, the Skyrise Theater is putting on one this weekend. They are doing Seussical, the Musical, Junior. Friday, May 15th at 6:30, Saturday, May 16th at 12:30, and Sunday, May 17th also at 12:30. Tickets are $18 for adults and $15 for students and seniors. To purchase, you can head to www.skyrisetheater.com/all-events, www.skyrisetheater.com/all-events, or you can give them a phone call at 508-203-1759. Performances will be held at the Gibbons Middle School at 20 Fisher Street in Westboro. And I'll give you that telephone number one more time, 508-203-1759. Over at Samuel Slater's restaurant down in Webster, the band called Abraxas will be playing their tribute to Carlos Santana this Saturday, May 16th at 8 p.m. The doors will open at 7:30. This is a 21 and older show only, and yes, you do need a valid ID to get in. Tickets are $15 in advance or $20 at the door. If you'd like to purchase them ahead of time, you can head to www.samuelslaters.com, www.samuelslaters.com, or you can give them a phone call, 508-943-1639, 508-943-1639. Samuel Slater's restaurant is located at 200 Gore Road in Webster. Back here in Worcester, there is a show called A Little Knit Music, musical tapestries featuring organist Brett McGuire. The program for musical tapestries features music by Bach, Franck, Vierne, Florence Price, and others. Brett, who is the principal organist in this performance, is also an expert in fiber arts, and he will discuss the connections between the music in his program and spinning, knitting, and weaving. As a part of this, he encourages his audience members to craft during the concert. So go ahead and bring your sewing and your knitting with you and work on it while you listen to some beautiful music. A reception will follow the show. The show and reception are on Sunday, May 17th at 4 p.m. Both of them, the concert and the reception, are completely free to attend and require nothing from you other than your presence. The concert and reception are being held at the First Unitarian Church at 90 Main Street in Worcester. If you have any questions or concerns about this program or you would like more information, you can call 508-757-2708. 508-757-2708. Turning next to the Gene McDonough Arts Center, the JMAC, for their Summer Jump Off. This is the Inner Voice, Outer Change for Youth annual Summer Jump Off. This is a celebration of the incredible music and media projects that have been created by students in the Inner Voice Outer Changes After School Music Program, which includes schools from all across Worcester. This is on Sunday, May 17th at 5 p.m. Tickets are $9 each, two tickets for $17, or five tickets for $35. Seating is general admission. There will be a brief intermission between each of the performances. To purchase your tickets, you will need to call the Hanover Theater box office, as they are in charge of ticketing for the JMAC. Their telephone number is 877-571-7469. 877-571-7469. We're going to head out to Boylston next and head up to the New England Botanic Garden at Tower Hill. They've got a bunch of things going on, starting with their latest exhibit, Glass in Flight. Step into a world of color and wonder with this unforgettable exhibition that features 30 larger-than-life stained glass and steel sculptures expertly crafted by artist Alex Haveri. On your journey, you'll encounter giant hummingbirds, butterflies, dragonflies, beetles, and more as they shimmer in the sunlight, soar overhead, pose in midair, or hide among the blooms. Glass in Flight opens this Saturday, May 16th. and it runs all the way until November the 1st. So you've got plenty of time to head up to Tower Hill to check it out if you so desire. If you do go, the exhibition will be open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. It is closed on Monday. The garden itself is open every day from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m., but this particular exhibit is not open on Mondays. When summer rolls around, there will be extended hours on Wednesday and Thursday evening, so you can enjoy the garden and the exhibition a little bit longer. Sensory-friendly hours are every Tuesday evening from 5 p.m. until 7 p.m. from April through October. This is for folks who would prefer to enjoy the garden in a low-sensory, less crowded environment. Please note, the garden shop and the Farmer and Fork Cafe will not be open during this time. Otherwise, the garden and everything it has to offer will be available to you. Now, what's interesting about this exhibition is that many of the sculptures in it are for sale. So if you come across one you like, you might end up taking it home with you. You will be provided a map of the garden to help you find the sculptures. They'll all be listed on the map so that you know where all of them are. You can pick one of those up when you get there. Just make sure you stop by the visitor center and they'll have those maps ready and waiting for you. This exhibition is included with your general admission, so no extra tickets of any kind are required. As always, members of the garden are free. Adults are $24 in advance or $26 at the door. Seniors are $19 in advance or $20 at the door. Children aged 4 through 12 are $12 in advance or $14 at the door. And children 3 and under are free. If you have a dog that you would like to bring along with you, you can do so for an additional $8. If you have a service animal, they are always welcome and there is no charge to bring them. It is always free. There are two free general admission days coming up, June 1st and June 19th. If you would like to purchase your tickets in advance, you can head to nebg.org, nebg.org. There is a shuttle from the parking lot to the visitor center that you can reserve if that's something that you need. Otherwise, you'll have to walk up a sloping path. It's not a steep slope, but it is sloped. It is not a flat path at all. There is a slight slope to it. So if that's an issue for you, you can go ahead and make a reservation for the shuttle. Each of these shuttles can seat 5 individuals in addition to the driver. The shuttle operates Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. They ask that you make a reservation. Again, there's only 5 seats on the shuttle, so they need to know who's coming. To make a reservation for the shuttle, you can call 508-869-6111 and please make your reservation no later than the day before your planned visit. Again, the number is 508-869-6111. If you would like to go behind the exhibit, there is an opportunity for you to do just that. You can enjoy an exclusive first look at Glass in Flight with its artist and creator, Alex Haveri. This is Friday, May 15th from 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. Tickets are $15 for members and $35 for non-members. To purchase, you've got two options, nebg.org/glass-in-flight. That's nebg.org/glass-in-flight. Or you can call 508-869-6111. 508-869-6111. There is an evening of solo piano coming up this weekend. Actually, two evenings, because the show will be Saturday and Sunday. And the program is called Around the World in 80 Minutes. This one-of-a-kind program will take you on a musical journey across the globe. You'll travel with pianist Julia Scott Carey along the rivers of the Peruvian mountains, across the beaches of New Zealand, through the icy waters of Greenland, and everywhere in between. Featuring music by 7 contemporary composers, each piece reflects the distinctive character and beauty of the people and the places that inspired it. As we mentioned, this concert is being performed twice this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, May 16th and May 17th, both nights at 7 p.m. Doors will open at 6:30 on both nights as well. As part of the evening, a selection of beer, wine, and light snacks will be available for purchase. Outside food and drink are not permitted, so leave those at home or in the car before you go in. Tickets are $26 for member adults, $36 for non-member adults, and $16 for students. The only requirement is that they must be purchased in advance. To do that, head to nebg.org/around-the-world. nebg.org/around-the-world. There is also a plant show and sale this weekend up at Tower Hill. It is the Massachusetts chapter of the American Rhododendron Society show and sale. Rhododendron, lovingly known as rhodies, are a genus of woody plants native to Asia, North America, Europe, and Australia. They grow in temperate deciduous forests, often along hillsides and mountain slopes. This spring, the Massachusetts chapter of the American Rhododendron Society brings you a show that will immerse you in the world of rhodies. The event includes fabulous rhododendron flower displays, educational lectures and workshops, and opportunities to purchase unusual and rare rhododendrons, azaleas, and other compatible plants grown by members of the society. As a portion of the event, rhododendron flowers grown by society members will be entered into competition, grouped, and judged by type. A guided informational tour of the show's entries will help you learn what qualities to look for in your own flowers. And make sure you bring your questions with you. Expert growers will be on hand to help you learn more about all things rhododendron. On Saturday, May 16th, the show is from 12 p.m. until 5 p.m. The sale is from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. or while supplies last. There is also a guided tour of the flower show. That is a 30-minute tour that starts at 12:30 and runs until 1 p.m. On Sunday, May 17th, the show and the sale are from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. or while supplies last. There is a guided flower show tour as well from 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. There is also a lecture called Rhododendron Hybridizing Results. What works? What doesn't? What's in demand? This is a one-hour presentation from 2 until 3 p.m. All of the plant sales at Tower Hill are included with your regular admission to the garden. And again, you can purchase those in advance if you'd like at nebg.org, or you can wait until you get there and purchase them then. For any questions or concerns regarding any of the programs we talked about, the exhibition, the plant sale, or the gardens themselves, you can call 508-869-6111. 508-869-6111. Tower Hill is located at 11 French Drive in Boylston. Now, speaking of plants, there is a community plant swap coming up. It'll actually be held on four different Sundays this year. May 17th, which is this Sunday, June 28th, July 19th, and August 16th. All 4 days, the hours are 12 p.m. until 2 p.m. The only rules are that you bring a healthy, pest-free, already potted plant, and then you can take home a plant of similar size and value with you. The swap is completely free, and it takes place at the Creative Hub Worcester at number 2 Ionic Avenue. This Saturday, May 16th, for the 16th year in a row, the two neighborhoods of Sawyer Hill Eco Village, Mosaic Commons, and Camelot Co-Housing out in Berlin will be celebrating the environmental holiday Give Your Stuff Away Day. To do it, they are giving away their stuff, hence the name Give Your Stuff Away Day. Makes sense, right? This includes toys, clothes, books, media, electronics, cookware, housewares, furniture, you name it. In other words, it's anything you might find at a multifamily yard sale, but it's all totally free. It won't cost you anything to pick it up. This is May 16th from 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. Here are some do's and don'ts if you go. Do not be an early bird. Entry is not allowed until 9 a.m., so don't even think about showing up before then because they will not let you in. Do not bring your pets. Service animals, of course, are welcome, but any other pets, please leave those at home. Do bring along with you shopping bags, baskets, and or carts to collect all of the things that you might take. You are allowed to take items from designated giveaway areas only, and those will be clearly marked. You can take items from those areas, but please do not leave your own items. Only people who live in the neighborhood can donate their items. To find Sawyer Hill Eco Village, you'll take I-290 and take the exit for Solomon Pond Mall. But instead of taking the right onto Donald Lynch Boulevard, you're going to continue straight. At the first roundabout, just head straight on through. At the second roundabout, take the second exit, which is South Street. Follow South Street until you come to the fork in the road. Here, you'll bear right onto Pleasant Street. Continue down on Pleasant Street a short ways until you come to the triangle next to the South Berlin Cemetery. Here, you'll take your first right or your second right. It doesn't matter which. This is a triangle, and they both lead to the same place. And that place is Sawyer Hill Road. That's what you're looking for. Sawyer Hill Road. You'll follow Sawyer Hill Road until you come to the Eco Village, which is going to be on your left side. When you get there, there will be signs directing you where to park and where to enter the event, so please follow those. The other way to get there is you could take 290 to 495 North and then take, I believe it's the first exit just past Berlin, but then that means you kind of have to turn around and come back south, back to Berlin, which if you're coming from Worcester, I don't think that makes a whole lot of sense. Plus, who wants to deal with 495 if you don't have to anyway, right? So you have your two options there. If you would like to see this route on a map, you can head to sawyerhill.org/directions. sawyerhill.org/directions. For more information and for weather-related updates, if it does rain this Saturday, then everything will be moved into a covered area, and there will be signs letting you know where that area is. So if you'd like to get some weather-related updates or some more information on this Give Your Stuff Away Day, you can head to mosaic-commons.org/GYSA-2026. So, once again, the two websites that you need to know for the route on a map, head to sawyerhill.org/directions. For more information and weather-related updates, head to mosaic-commons.org/GYSA-2026. Over in the WCUW front room here in Worcester, they are showing a movie. It is called Tea on the Beach with director Dawn Davis. She will be there. This is a showing of the movie Tea on the Beach and a discussion with the director, Dawn Davis. When Lena receives news that her mother has died, she and her family reluctantly return to her family home to decide what to do about her father, who suffers from dementia. This movie does not have a rating. It runs 1 hour and 32 minutes in length. They will be showing it on Sunday, May 17th from 1:30 until 3:30 p.m. And again, that includes the discussion with the director. Tickets are $11.44 per person and can be purchased by heading to www.cinema-worcester.com. www.cinema-worcester.com. When you get there, scroll down the front page until you come to this movie showing. There you'll find a black box with the words tickets in it. Click on that and you'll be on your way. The WCUW front room is located at 910 Main Street here in Worcester. There are two art exhibitions coming up. The first one is called Endless Repeat. This is an Artists in Residence show. This show features works created by the Artists in Residence during their 2025-2026 residency. The artists delve into various themes of symmetry, nature, growth, and connection, often repeating motifs and themes across media and forms, including ceramics, installation, and printmaking. There is an opening reception on Thursday, May 21st from 5 p.m. until 7:30. After that, the exhibition will be on view from May 21st through June the 6th in the Krikorian Gallery at the Worcester Center for Crafts at 25 Sagamore Road in Worcester. Regular gallery hours are Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. The gallery is closed on Sunday. Both the reception and the gallery are free. While you are there, make sure you head to the community gallery to check out the selected works of Randall Warren Parker, an artist from Agawam, Massachusetts. His works will be on view until May 23rd, so you've got a little bit more time to take a look at those. The community gallery is open every day from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m., and it is also free. The other art exhibition coming up is Multisensory Chinese Empress Art and Culture Experience. Join artist Zhang Li and her daughter and creative partner Fei Wu for an immersive multisensory experience celebrating the art, culture, and stories of Chinese empresses. This is a two-week exhibition that features Zhang Li's internationally recognized Chinese Empress collection, created using traditional techniques with mineral pigments and gemstone-infused watercolors on 100% silk. In addition to these works, Zhang will also debut a selection from her Panda and Chinese Zodiac series. There is an opening reception on Thursday, May 21st from 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. Celebrate with light refreshments, a short welcome talk, and a multimedia presentation featuring behind-the-scenes footage and the making of Zhang Li's work. As part of the exhibition, there will also be walking tours of the exhibition, coloring tables for families, including adults, you can color too, tea tasting, and a scent experience where you can discover perfumes and incense reminiscent of imperial court life and cultural rituals. Both the opening reception and the gallery are free, and both are open to the public. Regular gallery hours are Wednesday through Saturday from 2 p.m. until 6 p.m. The gallery is located at the Jean McDonough Art Center, the JMAC, at 20B Franklin Street here in Worcester. For more information, you can call 508-413-5622. 508-413-5622. The town of Sudbury is celebrating its 250th anniversary, not of its founding, but the 250th anniversary of the commencement of the American Revolution. And they're throwing a huge celebration this weekend to celebrate that anniversary. It is Saturday, May 16th, from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. There is an opening reception on the steps of the town hall at 10 a.m. that features a traditional musket salute. That is followed by storytelling by Willow Green and Abenaki elder and award-winning storyteller at 10:15. At 11 a.m., the Wayside Inn Steppers will perform a dance and demonstration. At 11:45 a.m., remarks will be given by state and town leaders. This will be followed by a fife and drum performance at 12:30, and then another dance and demonstration from the Wayside Inn Steppers. The Sudbury Meeting House is hosting an open house from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. There will be a half-hour guided tour of the house at 10:30. At 1 p.m., there is a program called Declaring Independence Then and Now. This is an award-winning performance that brings the words and ideas of 1776 to life through readings of the Declaration of Independence and first-person perspectives from living history performers. tailored to the town of Sudbury and presented on the site where the Declaration of Independence was originally read to the inhabitants of Sudbury. This thought-provoking program depicts how communities in Massachusetts debated the idea of independence from Great Britain. This program is then followed by one last tour of the meeting house at 2 p.m. There is a post-performance reception at the Loring House from 2 p.m. until 3 p.m. where you can meet the performers and continue the conversation with your fellow audience members. From 10 a.m. until 12 noon in the town center, there is Plymouth Patuxet programming. Two programs will be presented. In Pack the Ship, guests will decide what to bring with them on the Mayflower voyage. In Sports and Play, guests can learn about and try their hand at games enjoyed in the 17th century Plymouth colony. These two programs will be presented again from 1 p.m. until 3 p.m. From 1:30 until 3 p.m., you can enjoy the sounds of the colonial era with a performance by the Red Horse Old Time Duo at the Presbyterian Church. At 11 a.m., at the Revolutionary War Cemetery, the Sudbury Companies of Militia and Minutemen will host a ceremonial musket-firing demonstration. They will then march to Noyes Field to perform another musket-firing demonstration, this one at 1 p.m. This will be followed by closing ceremonies at 2 p.m. at Noyes Field. A cannon-firing demonstration will mark the close of the day's festivities. All of this, all of these programs that we just talked about, are free to attend. If you go, they ask that you park in the following lots: the Lincoln Sudbury Regional High School and the Nixon Elementary School. Both of these lots will have a continuous shuttle to transport guests from the designated pickup location near the school's front entrance, and they'll be running continuously throughout the day. Handicapped parking is available at the Flynn Building. This is also a designated drop-off and pickup point for guests who prefer not to park. For more information, including a complete schedule of events, head to sudbury.ma.us. sudbury.ma.us. When you get there, scroll down to just below the picture of the Sudbury Town Hall to find Sudbury 250 Day. Click on the text in blue and you will be on your way. Now, on Sunday, May 17th, in the multi-purpose room of the Fairbank Community Center at 40 Fairbank Road in Sudbury, there will be a program called Each Half a Hand. Peter Abair, who is a Sudbury native and author of the book Each Half a Hand, will share the stories of the people and the events that swept both sides to a conflict that would change the world. The program starts at 4 p.m. and it is free to attend. It is being recorded by Sudbury TV and it will be available to view online through video on demand. To find the link for video on demand, head to sudbury.ma.us, sudbury.ma.us, and scroll down through the list of events until you come to this one. It will be the sixth one down on that list. Click on the blue text, and you will be on your way. On that list of events, you'll also find the Memorial Day Parade in Sudbury, which is coming up very fast. It is 1 week from Monday, as hard as that is to believe. Where did May go? I mean, honestly, where did it go? We just began the month last week, and we're already looking at the end of it? How does that happen? I have no idea. In any event, we'll talk more about the parade and all of the other festivities throughout the area next week, right here on Weekend Update. For now, we've got some high school graduations to talk about, and we'll start with the Adult Learning Center. They will be having their graduation ceremonies on Tuesday, June the 9th at 6 p.m. in the Doherty High School Auditorium. Burncoat High School is graduating on Friday, June 5th at 6 p.m. in the DCU Center. Claremont Academy is graduating on Monday, June the 8th at 6 p.m. at the Hanover Theater. Doherty Memorial High School is holding their commencement exercises on Monday, June the 1st at 6 p.m. in the DCU Center. The Gerald Creamer Center and Evening High School is hosting their graduation ceremonies on Tuesday, June 10th at 10 a.m. in the Hanover Theater. Millbury High School is graduating on Friday, June 5th at Mechanics Hall. North High School is graduating on Wednesday, May 27th at 6 p.m. at the DCU Center. St. Paul's High School is graduating on Thursday, May 21st at 7 p.m. at Mechanics Hall. Shrewsbury High School is holding their commencement ceremonies on Tuesday, May 26th, also at Mechanics Hall. South High Community School is graduating on Wednesday, June the 3rd at 6 p.m. at the DCU Center. Sutton High School is handing out diplomas on Thursday, May 28th at Mechanics Hall. The University Park Campus School is hosting their graduation ceremonies on Friday, May 29th at 6 p.m. in Atwood Hall at Clark University. The Worcester Alternative School is graduating on Thursday, June 4th at 10 a.m. in the DCU Club and Suite 12A over at Polar Park. And Worcester Technical High School is graduating on Tuesday, June the 2nd at 6 p.m. at the DCU Center. That is all of the high school graduations I have for now. I will keep my eyes and ears open, and if I come across any more, I feel like I will. So if I do, I will be sure to pass them along to you. Okay, time now to talk about the Woo Sox. They've got a couple of games coming up this week against the visiting Rochester Red Wings, starting on Tuesday, May 19th at 6:05 p.m. It is Mental Health and Wellness Night presented by the YMCA. It is also Tail Wagon Tuesday, Taco and Tequila Tuesday, and AARP Ticket Tuesday as well. The Rochester Red Wings will be back in town on Wednesday, May 20th at 6:05 p.m. It is Albanian Heritage Night. It is also Head and Neck Cancer Awareness Night. As part of this, there will be pregame ceremonies where Massachusetts oncology patients, survivors, and supporters will be recognized on the field for their remarkable contributions to the community alongside head and neck cancer survivors. If you purchase a ticket through the special ticket offer, you will have your choice of reserved seats or a spot on the grassy berm. There will also be a $5 contribution to the Massachusetts Oncology Patients, Survivors, and Supporters for every ticket sold through the special offer. Also on Wednesday, it is National Grid First Responder Wednesday. Then on Thursday, versus the same Rochester Red Wings, this is May 21st, first pitch is scheduled for 11:05 a.m., it is AbbV STEM Day. That's Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics. There is also a player meet and greet. A couple of current Woo Sox players will be in the DCU Club for autographs and photographs, and they'll be there after the game. After this, your Woo Sox have three more home games next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday before hitting the road for a trip to Scranton, Pennsylvania the following week. We'll tell you more about those three home games next time here on Weekend Update. For now, to purchase tickets, including any of the special bundles, or special offers, I should say, to any of the home games for your Worcester Woo Sox, you've got several options. You can head to www.milb.com/Worcester, www.polarpark.com. You can visit the box office in person at 100 Madison Street, or you can give the box office a good old-fashioned ringy-dingy at 508-500-1000. 508-500-1000. There are two more events coming up this weekend at Polar Park. The first is a Best Buddies Friendship Walk. This is the leading event in the country supporting inclusion for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. It is being held on Saturday, May 16th. Check-in is at 11 a.m. Opening ceremonies are at 12:15. The walk itself starts at 12:30, and it consists of four laps, which is 1 mile around the warning track on the field. The celebration continues until 1:30 with fun and games, mascot appearances, balloon twisters, ballpark snacks, an inclusive talent showcase, and much, much more. For more information and to register, head to www.bestbuddiesfriendshipwalk. That's all one word, please. So go ahead and smush it together, but not too hard. You don't want to jumble the letters. So that's www.bestbuddiesfriendshipwalk.org/centralmass. You can also find that same link at www.polarpark.com. On Sunday is the Girls on the Run 5K celebration. This 5K is the closing event of the Girls on the Run season and gives program participants of all abilities a tangible sense of accomplishment. Everyone in the program will receive a commemorative medal to celebrate this incredible achievement. On Sunday, May 17th, the Athletes Village opens at 8:30 a.m. where the girls can get their hair done, bling out their bib, and much, much more. The 5K gets underway at 10:30 a.m. This is not a competitive race. It is a fun, celebratory event for the participants. Everyone gets a medal, and everyone gets a t-shirt when they cross the finish line. And it doesn't matter how you do it, as long as you make it across. For more information, head to www.gotr-worc.org/5k. www.gotr-worc.org/5k. Or you can also find that link at www.polarpark.com. Well, there's that familiar tune again, and you know what that means. It means that our time together has come to an end. Next week, we'll be having some fun with food by taking a look at some weird food facts. For example, we'll tell you who created cotton candy. You might be surprised to find out who it was. And we'll tell you what the most radioactive food in the world is. You may have eaten it, and you might even have some at home right now. What is it? Well, you'll just have to tune in next week to find out. Until then, thanks for hanging out with me for the past hour. It is always appreciated and always a pleasure. Have a great rest of your day. Get out and do something fun. Take in a concert, cheer on your Woo Sox, spend the day in Sudbury, peruse an art exhibition, or celebrate National Chocolate Chip Day on Friday with a cookie. After all, life's a lot like a chocolate chip cookie. It's a little crumbly, it's occasionally nuts, but it's always better when it's warm and shared. That's my favorite way. I'll see you next time on Weekend Update. Weekend Update has been a production of the Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. Programming is funded in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind. If you would like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or in Braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or you can always go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, your iPad, or your Android device. If you know of an upcoming event or you have a question or suggestion or comment about anything you've heard here, you can always reach me at weekendupdate@yahoo.com. My name is Adam. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great rest of your day, and join me again next week for another edition of Weekend Update.
Audio Journal, the radio reading service of Central Massachusetts, is your best source for news, information, and entertainment for individuals who are blind or otherwise unable to access print material. We are a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you would like to know our broadcast schedule, go to the Audio Journal website at www.audiojournal.org or contact us, and we'll gladly send you a large print or Braille program guide. Call 508-797-1117 or email info@audiojournal.org. Audio Journal connects listeners to their local communities. Have you heard the news? Make sure everyone knows you heard it on Audio Journal. Listen to Audio Journal on your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play radio station Audio Journal on TuneIn. Or, Hey Google, play radio station Audio Journal on TuneIn.